fantastic. I've got Basil ears going on right now, so just getting the volume adjusted.
Headphones are hot. Busy day in the zone today. What was the big story from the weekend? You go Wimbledon, you go another first-time winner on the PGA Tour. Do you go
Dwight Howard?
Joey Chestnut, Dwight Howard. There's a lot of good stories from over the weekend. What was the biggest story?
Oh, man.
Soccer referee drawn and quartered. I mean.
Soccer referee, the one that was killed?
Yeah, chopped up.
Oh, yeah. Ooh, that was intense,
boy,
man.
Boy, the video's out, too.
I haven't seen the video yet.
I happened on it today on accident.
I heard it's gruesome.
No, if you
I'm not big into watching people get their heads cut off.
If you consider them moving a decapitated dude's head back on his shoulders as they try to kind of piece his body together on an emergency room table, yeah, that's pretty gruesome.
Well, yeah, graphic. I could go without. You know what I did like seeing, though? I think the biggest story, because of the significance of that being his home country, he's never won it before. I'm going to give it to tennis. I'm going to give it to Wimbledon. Andy Murray taking home the crown.
He's got a fourth championship point here at Wimbledon. Into his service action he goes. He goes up wide. Oh, what a return from Djokovic right on the baseline. He's won it! Andy Murray is Wimbledon champion! It's the second Grand Slam title of his career, and he cannot believe it! He becomes the first British men's singles winner here in 77 years! And they embrace at the net. And there'll be plenty of tears shed in his hometown of Dunblane today. But there'll be tears of joy, because one of their own has captured the greatest prize in all of tennis. And the icing on the cake is that he's done it by beating the best player on the planet in Novak Djokovic. It's taken 3 hours and 9 minutes. He's done it 6-4, 7-5, 6-4.
Two things about that.
Go for it.
First of all, it is a great moment. I actually had tears in my eyes when the guy was doing his post-match conference. I thought it was really good. It was
on the court.
It's a great story. It's just a great story. And he goes up in the crowd and, you know, he kisses his longtime girlfriend, and Yvonne Lendl's his coach, and his mom's up there. It's just a great day, great moment for a country. But at the same time, I can't help but think, what a terrible broadcasting voice out of that guy. Oh, horrible.
Oh, yes, here comes the serve, and it is, oh, he wins!
That is terrible. Nice impression, though.
Thank you. Thank you.
But anyway, no, that was a great story from over the weekend. I would give a game ball to Andy Murray, A, for pulling that off. B, I will give a game ball to Novak Djokovic.
Novak.
For being graceful in defeat. I thought that was almost as good as Murray. He was so good, and he, of course, Murray knew what it meant to the UK.
Sure.
It was so cool, though, that Djokovic, certainly everybody knew, it was a storyline, 77 years and all that, but the fact that he embraced almost how happy this country was, where I think the premier, you know, I think it's the best golf tennis tournament in the world.
Yeah.
It's one that if I was going to go to one, that would be number one in my book.
Certainly.
Way ahead of US Open, Australia, anything else. French.
If I had the money, absolutely.
French would probably be second.
French would be cool, though.
French would be second, probably. Mostly because I've never seen tennis played in person on
clay. Or in France.
True.
I know.
I want to go to the UK, though, and I want to go watch Wimbledon sometime. I've told you that before. Anyway, let's play, I guess, to the winner goes the soundbites. We'll play Murray first, then I'm going to play some Djokovic, too.
Yeah, it feels slightly different to last year. Last year was one of the toughest moments of my career, so to manage to win the tournament today, it was an unbelievably tough match, so many long games, and I don't know how I managed to come through that. That final game was unbelievable from 3 match points, so I'm just so glad. You know how much everyone else wanted to see a British winner at Wimbledon, so I hope you guys enjoyed it. I tried my best.
Well, mission accomplished. Here is Djokovic. I thought he was really, really good.
But still wasn't enough. Congratulations to Andy. You absolutely deserve this win. You played incredible tennis. Congratulations to his team. I know how much it means to them and how much it means to all of you guys and the whole country. And, you know, well done.
How about that?
To
the whole country.
He sounded
congratulations.
Truly happy for him, which was really weird.
Those two are big rivals. You know, they're only about a week apart. They've grown up playing against each other in so many different tournaments. So this has been a long time coming for Murray, a guy who, you know, Djokovic, they mentioned number one. He's a guy that has played spectacular the past few years. Kind of overtaken that number one spot from Federer, who's on the downturn of his career, even though he won Wimbledon last year, and Nadal, who has those injury issues.
Yeah. Well, game ball to Murray. To Andy Murray for his first Wimbledon win.
Mm-hmm.
Game ball to Bartoli, who won her first Wimbledon as well. She was a virtual unknown for most of us in the world of tennis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not a real close follower of tennis other than American women's tennis I follow fairly closely.
What about with the – do you give a jockstrap to the announcer Did you hear what...
There was a BBC announcer that made a comment about how she looks.
Yes, and how...
She is ugly by female tennis comparison.
I mean, who are you trying to compare her to, Sharapova? Well, that's what he did, essentially.
Well, there are a lot of attractive women who play professional tennis. She's not among them, but it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
You're not there to be good-looking. You're there to be good.
And then for the BBC announcer to say that, I think it's drawn a lot of criticism.
Yeah, it's terribly sexist because if an ugly guy won, nobody would say anything about it.
No.
Yeah. I don't think Andy Murray's going to be a model anytime soon either.
But... He's going to be modeling for Wimbledon.
Well, it's great for him. Yeah, that is kind of weak. But so I was going to say game ball to all the first-time winners, and then you got Blixt on the PGA Tour, who won in the dark yesterday at the Greenbrier. And a good performance by – I didn't see how Bryce Mulder ended up, but Tiger Ridings was, I think, right around a top-10 finish if he didn't end up in the top-10. He was very close. But, yeah, they had to go – I mean, they took it off of CBS because it was running into 60 minutes, and then they moved it over to the Golf Channel and went a couple hours more. It's crazy, but they went deep into the – end of the afternoon, late afternoon, early evening, and
delayed by weather.
Yeah, they had a weather delay like 3 hours plus, so it was good to see though. But another Swede, and he and David Lingmuir, who's a former Razorback, apparently are quite tight.
They gave
a big hug when he came off the course, and of course he didn't know at that point if he'd won or not because that's not as fun a way to win as winning on the green when you're done at 18. You know,
it's kind of nerve wracking, isn't it?
When you're up,
yeah.
But the good news is he was a couple strokes clear, so he knew they had to do something pretty special.
Okay,
so that was pretty cool.
Good for him.
Yeah, it was nice. So game ball to the first time winners. I say jockstrap to an inanimate object. Jockstrap to Joey Chestnut's toilet. Wow, cannot imagine.
In a row. Joey Chestnut, unbelievable.
Unbelievable finish in both the female contest and the men's contest. Of course, the headlines will be across the globe. New world record, 69, and a never-before-seen seven straight belts.
Magic number.
It is the magic number.
69, the magic number. I came out here, the crowd pushed me. They were not letting me slow down, and it's awesome. You know what? They were pushing me for a little bit. Best of all, I had my girlfriend right in front of me yelling at me and not letting me slow down. She was just, without her, I would have been lazy, and she saved me on that one.
Yeah, basically, Joey Chestnut is competing only against himself now.
At this point, with Kobayashi gone.
Yes.
And, you know, you look at, I think RJ was reading some of the different stats on what consuming 69 hot dogs consists of.
How many calories?
I think he said around 20,000 calories.
How much fat?
Gosh.
There's got to be a limit on how much.
Like a 1,300 grams of fat.
There's got to be a limit on how many calories your body can process.
That's what we were trying to figure out. What would happen as a professional eater? Do you throw it all up or do you hold it down and let it go out the natural way?
Well,
what's the process on this?
Yeah, let's say you do, though. I mean, there's no way your body can ingest 20,000 calories in a sitting.
But what I'm saying is, if you throw it up, I mean, how violent would that be?
I don't think that, well,
69 hot dogs.
Do you
get it all out at once?
I don't know. You would think you'd want to force it out, right?
Right?
You're not allowed to do it while you're there. And then that could also be a hazard, I would think, because you're going to do that a lot because you're in a lot of these competitions.
Yeah.
Plus, what does he win?
$10,000, I think.
I don't know.
I think it's $10,000.
It's not worth it.
No.
Mm-mm.
I don't think a lot of things are worth that.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I just can't imagine
putting
your body through something like that.
I made a challenge when we were talking about corn dogs. There was some corn dog competition. I ate, I don't know, like eight or something in 10 minutes. This is so gross. I cannot imagine eating that many hot dogs. This is so disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, it is. Anyway, but we're fascinated by it.
Yes, we are.
And then it's every time this time of year, I always go and look at, we always end up looking at like the, I didn't do it this year, but normally we look at like some of the other records, like most butter in a butter competition. I mean, they'll eat anything, you know. They did a corned beef sandwich deal in Hot Springs a while back, and the Black Widow, who won the women's division of the Nathan's hot dog contest, she won.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, it was maybe 5 years ago or something.
Man, that'd be tough too.
Yeah,
that's
would be.
Salty. Also, it was a hot dog, but
well, yeah.
You got
the
bread.
The
water.
Grosses me out. Wet, wet bread is
wet
nasty.
Wet bread is disgusting.
That's the nastiest. My wife is like a tiramisu freak. She loves it, and that wet bread type thing. Ugh.
Even when I see it in the sink and I'm pushing it down, like yesterday we had hamburgers and I was pushing it down the disposal. It's just disgusting to look at.
Yeah, wet bread is gross.
Yeah, it's not good.
And they're dipping it, and then you see the bread floating in the water. I mean, just totally gross.
Yeah. If Melinda's listening right now, you know she has a real issue with this whole thing. On a Friday, she was listening to us, and we were talking about it. She said she was gagging in her car driving. So we apologize, Melinda.
What part of it? What grosses her out?
Everything. She can't even look at it.
Yeah.
She'll start gagging.
No, I feel sick watching it. It's nasty. I mean, I feel terrible watching it. I don't know what's grosser, that or the decapitation video I saw of the poor soccer ref in South America.
Unfortunately, it's probably close.
It is. It's a toss-up.
I know.
So
sad.
Gross. Today in the zone, we will talk a little NFL football. Aaron Hernandez got in some trouble. I don't know if you've heard or not.
Aaron. Done messed up.
Urban is defending himself in Florida in the process. Jeff Benedict has written a book called Pros and Cons, The Criminals Who Play in the NFL. He's going to talk to us about what they say is an explosive expose. I've not had a chance to read through it yet, but he worked with Don Yeager on what they call football's dirtiest secret, that criminality runs rampant in the league, and as of 98, it was estimated that one out of every five NFL football players has been charged with a serious crime. So my question to you is, what's the national average? How many average Arkansans are charged with a serious crime?
Serious crime.
I don't know what that entails.
Yeah, I'd like to know what that entails. Because
we talking DUI? Are we talking about simple assault? Are we talking about theft? What are we talking about? What do you consider a serious crime?
Felony.
A felony?
Yeah.
Okay. What does Roger Goodell consider a serious crime? That's the more important thing.
A slap fight.
So my question is, and Tommy Smith has raised this point too, which I don't normally quote Tommy Smith in a positive way, but I will in this case. I don't know that it's that much different than the average, you know, societal norms.
But do we hold these NFL players on such a pedestal and such a standard to where, a gold standard,
well,
to where we expect better of them as role models?
It's a violent game played by violent people who in many cases grew up in violent upbringing, violent situations. Aaron Hernandez is among them. I mean, he's
sure.
A guy that was in a tough, you know, tough position as a kid. He was around apparently gangs and things like that. Not everybody was, though.
Tim Tebow.
So here's my thing, though.
His teammate.
Yeah. When you look at it for societal norms for what, how often wealthy people commit violent crimes, maybe it's a little bit higher. I mean, at some point, if you're Aaron Hernandez, you just signed a huge contract, you have to ask yourself, am I still that guy or can I be someone else? And that's the thing. I mean, that's been debated over time, is that's just who they are, which I'm all for being real, and it's great that these guys do not look at themselves as different than they were, but you are different than you were. And if you can live, it's a little bit like the whole living the life as a rapper. Like, you know, whether it's, you know, Biggie or Tupac or whatever, they're still wrapped up with guys that, you know, are in the life or whatever. And you're so wealthy, you can separate yourself from that kind of thing, but you put yourself in harm's way.
Well, you don't want to leave your friends that you grew up with that,
which I respect,
that brought you up.
Absolutely, I dig that.
You don't want to leave them behind.
But you also don't need to live a dangerous lifestyle anymore. Those kinds of things can
certainly
go away. You don't have to live that kind of lifestyle.
But do you think some of these players, though, when they get to that high-level elite status, Hernandez signs this huge contract, he's considered a star, you know, in New England, do you think that even makes your head a little bit bigger and think you could get away with something like this?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I mean, to the point where you're like, I'm Aaron Hernandez, I can get away with this.
Well, the question I have is, which one of these guys that was with him are going to spill the beans or spill their guts on it
first?
Maybe he didn't do it.
Allegedly, three people were involved, something like that.
Yeah,
because
he called two other guys.
Yes.
And again, like I said, you know, I tweeted this the other day. If somebody calls you at 3:30 in the morning to go anywhere, they're desperate, like if they're like, "Hey, look, I crashed my car, I need you to come pick me up," or "Hey, I'm drunk and I'm at a club or a party, I need you to come pick me up." There is nowhere you need to go at 3:30 in the morning. And obviously the guy, the victim, was nervous because he was texting his sister.
Exactly.
Guess where I'm going? Guess who I'm with? The whole thing is, I'm like, if you call me at 3:30, bro, you ain't getting me out. Sorry. Uh-uh.
What if I called you at 3:30?
What are you going to tell me? If you tell me you're in desperate need of help, fine.
Can you help me hide this dead body?
We're going to go cruise, bro. Let's go for a ride. So, I don't know. We'll see what comes out. But
different lifestyles.
Somebody's going to spill on this dude.
Yes.
But that's my thing. You're not living that lifestyle anymore. You don't need to live that lifestyle
You don't need
anymore.
To, but sometimes you just have it in your mind.
You've gotten out. You've achieved. You're at a different level
you've
now.
You've made it.
You're in a different situation. Exactly.
You've essentially made it.
Right.
I mean,
you can still
by all
friends,
standards, made it.
As long as your friends are not involved in criminal conduct or, you know, and family members probably to some degree as well. Yeah. I mean, there are certain situations you just can't be part of anymore. A, the league has no tolerance for it. B, you're in one of the most tight-knit, locked-up, buttoned-up organizations in the NFL. And I don't want to come off as holier than thou. I mean, if I grew up around somebody, I've had relatives that have gone to prison for different things. I still love them. But if I was in a position where it could impact me negatively,
you gotta separate yourself.
I probably wouldn't associate with them. Now, if they needed some money and I could kick them a few bucks here and there, or if they needed something else and I could help them, fine. But we're not gonna go hang out. We're not hanging out. Plus, I didn't grow up in that kind of environment. really, they didn't either. They just kind of fell into it. But anyway, it's a tough deal, and I really do respect athletes and people who are in different situations that, you know, don't get so separated where they're you know, above it all. And I do respect it, but you also have to be semi-smart. You don't have to be a genius. I don't even think you have to have an IQ over like 80 to figure out that, gee, I can't put myself in XYZ situations anymore. Ray Lewis learned the hard way. I haven't heard any issues out of him since, you know, the whole mess.
He's been a model citizen since that incident back in the early 2000s.
Yeah.
So
sometimes you got to learn hard lessons. As I always say, there's two ways to learn from mistakes. Your mistakes and other people's mistakes. I prefer to learn from other people's mistakes because it saves you a lot of trouble.
Hopefully.
And you don't have to pay any penalties for it. Awesome. If you want in today, 433-1037, 1-800-477-1037. Dwight Howard. As a...
D-White!
As a Florida guy and an Arkansas guy. Nah, yeah. You have strong feelings about Dwight Howard?
I kind of expected this. I didn't think he'd stay with the Lakers. On the Magic, he was the man. He was number one. He was a guy that everyone knew that was his team, and with L.A., that was not his team. And even he knew that. And that was a trade. You got to remember, it was a trade. He didn't choose to go to the Lakers. He was okay with that because the Magic were looking to ship him out. Finally, for the first time in his career, he got a chance to pick and choose where he wanted to go. And he went to a team that he knew he could be the star. He had a good supporting cast. You got guys like Chandler Parsons on there. Of course, James Harden can rise up and be a star, as we've seen in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. A good former former great big man, Kevin McHale, coaching you just like he had with Patrick Ewing down in Orlando. That was his main coach, was Patrick Ewing.
Is Beverly still on the roster there?
I think Beverly's still there. You know, you got a well-assembled team around you where you are still the main focus. In L.A., you're not the focus.
I was out of it the last few days because I tried it when I'm off to tune it out. But so it was, he was going to Houston, but then they came back and he said, I'm 50-50. You know, that was when the story was that he was going to leave $3 million on the table if he didn't go back to L.A.
Yeah, and I think there's some conflicting reports. A lot of people were bashing him on Twitter, and I did too just because I don't – like him after how he left the Magic. But there were reports that he wanted that money, so he wanted the sign and trade, and then he had second thoughts. And typical Dwight Howard, we saw this with the Magic, so it wasn't really surprising. But in the end, he just settled for the huge max contract. Of course, he's losing out on some money, but no state income tax in Texas, so he's going to benefit from that. Yeah, he'll benefit from that.
Does California have any tax breaks?
Probably not. They're in debt.
So he should have stayed.
Everything.
So you're telling me he should have stayed in Orlando. That's an even better deal.
Orlando's
right?
Same thing. Florida has no sales tax or state income tax. Excuse me.
Oh, so it's the same deal.
Deal. Yeah. So he wants a similar situation. Texas doesn't have that. That's why he was considering actually two of those teams, the Mavs and the Rockets.
Okay.
I think Golden State kind of came in as a player just to, you know, give him a big pitch. Hey, come help us win. But
does it save him $3 million by not having state income tax? I wonder.
$30 mil.
Is that what he's making?
No. I mean, it's not going to – he'll still be missing out on money going to Houston.
I heard it was $3 million difference.
I heard it was 30.
Maybe I misread
difference.
That. I mean, okay. I could be wrong. I doubt it. It's possible. Kerry,
yeah.
How are you?
Pretty good.
What's up?
How about a game ball or a game tire to Jimmy Johnson for this weekend?
A game tire.
We're doing the Daytona double this year.
The Daytona double?
Yeah, his first driver to win both races in Daytona the same season.
It's never happened before?
No, about 30-some years.
I didn't realize that.
Bobby Allison was the last one to do it.
Okay, well, very good. Now, I guess Danica Patrick, for the first time in a long time, was relevant, and then she got in an accident late?
Oh, yeah. It was kind of, you know, it's pretty bad the way it happened, too. She kind of just ended up in it. She was, I think, running in seventh at the time.
It's a bummer.
Yep.
What was her best finish this year, do you know?
Hers? In the Daytona 500. Sixth place. At the beginning of the year.
Okay, so that was her first race was her best race.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How about that? And she
otherwise, she's been averaging about between 20 and 25.
She could have finished in a similar fashion this week, though. She'd not
actually. She had a shot at a top five.
Wow, that's too bad.
You know what?
The first one in Daytona, she kind of backed off at the end because
the
big boys were trying to finish. But this weekend, it looked like she was going to be in it, win it.
And Jimmy's pretty freakish. I mean, when you talk about success, I mean, he's been. It's pretty amazing how successful he has been
in that sport.
Yeah.
Some say lucky, which is a part of it. Even drivers have said that.
You have to get lucky.
You have
in anything.
To. But he's
I mean, LeBron James got lucky to win this title.
What I'm saying is, you need a lot of luck, but you have to have a lot of skill to do what he's done.
No question.
Absolutely.
All right, Kerry. Thanks. And much like Andy Murray would tell you, you got to have a good team around you. You know, whether it's a grumpy old coach in Yvonne Lendl, Or what?
I mean, or hot girlfriend?
Which that's the other thing. I half expected him to propose to her yesterday. I honestly did. They've been together for like 10 years. So I don't know what he's got, but whatever it is, it must be pretty impressive.
He was just waiting on his first Wimbledon title.
Either that
I'm sure.
Or she just, neither one of them want to get married. Maybe they don't believe in marriage. I don't know.
Maybe not.
They've been together for a long
time. It might be a European thing.
Long time. I want to say 10 plus years.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
They've been together a long time. Look into that. But she's a cutie pie. So, but yeah, I'm happy for him. I was rooting for him. He was my guy. Because the thing is, there is no American man that's relevant. So you have to find someone you can root for. I love Murray. He's a likable character. And I felt terrible for him last year, knowing all the pressure he was under, losing in Wimbledon final. And then, you know, then we lost Serena reasonably early. So we had Sloane Stephens to root for, and then she lost too. But at least Americans women's tennis, you've got a few people. And you know one guy we didn't mention, or two guys, I guess, the Bryan brothers.
Yes.
They hold all four Grand Slams right now, and they won. It's back-to-back Wimbledon,
incredible.
I think. Yeah, they've had an amazing run. But because it's doubles, it doesn't get the attention.
Yeah.
What do doubles guys make for winning Wimbledon?
I'm not sure, but I could look that up.
Because we talked about this the other day, about how some people would argue that the women should not make as much as the men because they play fewer sets. Well, I mean, Andy Murray only had to play three sets the other day. They played best of five, of course. But he won in three, so he didn't have to.
Can't
play.
Hate on him for winning in three.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with paying women the same amount as they do the men in tennis. My question is, what do the doubles folks make? Because you're talking about way less profile from a notoriety standpoint than it would be for a singles title. So I'm just curious what they take home. Of course, I got to split it. So
yeah.
Anyway,
it's going to be in pounds too. Remember that.
Yeah, but you can get it converted, I'm sure. But yeah, look into that. Let's see what I don't even know what the prize money was for the singles title.
I'll look it up.
I just know it's the same. Okay, we'll talk about that. Also coming up again, we are going to talk about pros and cons. The criminals who play in the NFL at 11 o'clock with Jeff Benedict. And in the 12 o'clock hour, I'm excited about this. Ricky Schroeder, who is a guy I grew up watching on TV. He was in The Champ, which is one of my favorite sports movies of all time. One of the most gut-wrenching scenes ever. He's in a new movie that he directs called Our Wild Hearts, available video on demand and DVD tomorrow. And his daughter's in it as well. One of his daughters, who he has a couple daughters that act. All four of his kids have acted at one time or another. So we're going to visit with him in the final hour today. So look forward to that. 10:30 in the Zone, Buzz Radio Network. Justin Anchory joined by Chris Kane today in the Fury Electric Studio. I want to be on the cover of Forbes.